The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. From the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and put this question to him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died, leaving no descendants. So the second brother married her and died, leaving no descendants. The third likewise. And the seven left no descendants. Last of all, the woman also died. At the resurrection, when they arise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "Are you not misled, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. As for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God told him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' You are greatly misled. The Gospel of the Lord." One of the primary reasons why it's sometimes difficult for us to worship God is because we don't have a clear conscience. Very important to have a clear conscience, and a conscience that's well formed. Let me tell you a story about a well-formed conscience. When I was about 8 years old, living in New York, in my free time from school, I would usually be playing sports. One thing I did was I would play baseball. And when I was 8 or 9 years old, I would play catch with one of my brothers. So one occasion, we were playing catch in the street, and we were throwing the ball back and forth, you know, high pop, curve ball. And the ball went awry, and it hit a parked car. And I said within me, "Who cares? Ignorance is bliss." Okay? That's a New York expression, okay? But my brother, who was 9, or only 11 months apart, he dropped his glove and he said, we have to analyze this situation. So he started to analyze the car with these very detailed surgeon eyes. Now he's a surgeon, no? He was looking to see if there's any damage done in that car. And after a minute, microscopic search, he noticed that there was a little bump underneath one of those windows. Just a little bump. And maybe just a little speck of the paint had been removed. Knight said, "Big deal. Spanish que importa." So this is what he did. He went from house to house ringing the doorbells so that he could tell the owners the damage that we had done so that we could do reparation. But after visiting all the homes in the little neighborhood, that the car did not belong to them. And for my part, a sigh of relief. But my agony was not terminated, because what he did was, he ran to our house, wrote down his name, my name too, where we lived, we lived 1 Saxon Lane, West Nyack, New York, and ELA 2342, which was our phone number, and where the damage was done, and our desire to do reparation for the damage that was done. My brother was 9 years old. I've never in my life met a child at 9 years old that has such a delicate conscience. Highly intelligent, a graduate from Dartmouth, summa cum laude, so he's got a good head on his shoulders, right? No? But where did that conscience, who formed that conscience? His mother. And his father happened to be my mom, and my dad. No? And here is the famous confessor, Father Broome. Here is Mr. Famous EWTN, the confessor, huh? And I was what St. Paul says, you do not have a cowardly spirit. I had the cowardly spirit. I still had to go through a conversion. No? What a delicate conscience. He 9 years old? So he couldn't live with what Paul is saying. He had to live with a clear conscience. If you give me permission, I'll tell another story. We would walk down to the corner store with a nickel or dime. This is 60 years ago, 55 years, where a nickel or a dime, a quarter, you could buy a Milky Way bar, jujubes, you could get, remember those? No, you could get some gum. So with a quarter, you could buy 5 different candies. So once he bought something at the corner store, when he returned, he recognized that they gave him 5 cents too much. He walked all the way back to the corner store to return the 5 cents. What will your son or daughter do? Losers, keepers. What would you do? What would your son or daughter do? If they don't know how to count, that's their problem, huh? You know what that's called? That's called the formation of a conscience, what is called a delicate conscience. Who formed that? Well, the Holy Spirit, but, you know, good parents. And to end, I'd like you to give you a somewhat beautiful, poetic image of a conscience. This comes from your friend Cardinal Newman, okay? Try to imagine that you're in your room at 12 noon. And in your room, and the blinders, the shutters are closed. And you're walking in your room and you trip over a chair. Then you open up a little bit and you can see the chair and the table and the bed, just shadows. Then you open up a little bit more and you can see the chair and the table and the bed. Open up a little bit more, you can even see the bedspread has a different design, different colors. And you notice there's even like a coffee spot there on the table. Then you open up the shades and the curtains totally, and the sun comes streaming in, and you can see even the dust particles that are floating in the sun. Ever do that? I've given you about five different images of five different consciences. One is totally in the dark. The other's half in the dark. The other's more in the light than the dark. Then when it's totally open and the sun comes beaming in, that would be the example of the conscience of my brother. A well-formed, delicate conscience. So let's pray as a result of my little message to you this evening, this afternoon, that we'll all try with our children, as well as your grandchildren, as well as ourselves, to work at forming the conscience of the saints, which is called the delicate conscience. Amen.